What are the things that God is asking us to do in uncertain times? The first passage I would like to start with is Joshua chapter 1. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and see what happens in here. Joshua, for those who might not remember or don't know, is the leader who came after Moses. The people of Israel came out of Egypt. God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And then Joshua was the leader that followed Moses to take Moses' place to continue taking the people. At some point, Moses couldn't continue. He couldn't see the promised land. He couldn't step on it. He saw it from afar. And so he passed away before the people of Israel made it to Canaan. So Joshua chapter 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And so we'll stop right there. Because as we read Joshua chapter 1 and God calling Joshua to take Moses' place, we think that Joshua is 100% ready. Yes, Joshua has been there leading with Moses, and Joshua has all the capabilities, has all the knowledge, and has the strength. He's probably way younger than any other of the people who could take leadership. And now Joshua is being called. And we think that the natural answer from Joshua should be, yes, Lord, I am ready, I will go, I will continue Moses' work, I will take the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, I'll just continue the work right now. So easy to do. Well, if we continue reading in Joshua chapter 1, rest of verse 5 says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why is God, if you pass it, why is God telling Joshua or reassuring him, hey, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will never leave you. The text doesn't explicitly say that Joshua was doubting, that he thought it was uncertain times for him, that he didn't know that he had the courage and the strength to continue Moses' work and to take the people of Israel into Canaan. But it is implied by the way God is talking to Joshua that Joshua was discouraged, that Joshua was probably in fear, that he probably didn't think he would be able to continue Moses' work. It was too much. It was a big responsibility for him. So God is telling him, hey, you don't have to be afraid. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I never left Moses before. I never left all of the children of the disciples. I never left them alone. I'm not going to leave you either. Verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Let's keep count of this expression because God keeps telling him that. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So God is telling him, I can see that you're afraid. I can see inside your heart. You don't even need to say the words. You don't need to express to me that you're scared, that you don't think that you can do this, that you don't think you have the strength. You don't have to tell me. I know, I can look inside your heart. And therefore, I am promising you, I am not going to leave you. And then he is commanding Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, God tells him a second time, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it to the right or to the left, that you may be let his arms get tired, put it down, the Amalekites will be with him. And so there was a problem, because Moses thought that the power was his. Hey, as soon as I do this, we are winning. There is a problem, Moses. You're not omnipotent. You don't have all the power of the world. At some point, your human limitations are going to distract you. It is not you who's making the Israelites win. It is God. It is not your hands or the staff. It is God fighting with them. And so, sometimes we overlook what God is doing in our lives, and we think what we're doing is enough, and we put him on the side, and we forget that he is there fighting with us. And so when that happens, what happens is that we're thinking it's us, like raising our hands and our staff, and then our hands get tired and we start losing. Whether it's a spiritual battle, or whether there's a physical sickness we're fighting, or economic situations, or relationships, doesn't matter what it is. As soon as we put God on the side because we think it's what we're doing, then we start losing. What do we do amid certain times? God wants us to understand our limitations. It's not thanks to us. It's not thanks to anything we do, but what he does while we're in the middle of the battle. So number one, once we understand our limitations, it started as something else we learned from this story that is very powerful and very important for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, is that God wants us to let the people he has allowed to be around us to help us. Because if Moses had been alone, we don't know, God would have found a way, yes. But God allowed Aaron and Hur to be there with Moses for a reason. That when Moses felt like he was tired, that his arms were didn't have more strength, he didn't have more strength to keep his arms up, he had people next to him who could help him and keep his arms up for him. And so God wants us to understand in this morning that if we are part of a Christian community of faith that accepts Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a group of believers around you that God has allowed you to be around them. You have to allow them to help you. And we have to help each other. And it's something that every time I study this story, it's so amazing how God wants us to learn from this story. Yes, we are limited, but he has given us ways to be victorious. And one of the ways is, acknowledge that you cannot do it, and you can do it even better when you let those around you. So it's more like an invitation. What do we do amidst uncertainty? In certain times, maybe you have friends God has given you that can pray for you. Maybe you have friends in your life that can come and study a passage of the Bible with you. Maybe you have someone who can come and help you in your house when something is very difficult. We have people around us, and God wants us to let them help us. At the end of this passage in Exodus 17, verse 14, Exodus 17, verse 14, the Lord knew what he was doing because he said, verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, write these on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name Amalek from under the head. There was a reason this story particularly happened, and God wanted Joshua to remember. God knew the future. God knew that Joshua will be called. God knew that Joshua will be afraid. God knew that he was going to have to tell Joshua, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid. I was with you before, and I will continue to be with you along your journey, fighting to take the Israelites to the land of Canaan. water in the middle of the desert, and yet they still don't trust him. They walk away from him like nothing has happened. Like, yes, we love you, but we don't really love you. Like, we're just walking away from you right now after all the things we have seen. So God in his anger said, you know what? Go down. Those people, your people that you have brought out of Egypt, they have become corrupt. They have, verse 8 says, they have been quick to turn away from what I command them, and have made themselves an idol, cast in the shape of a cow. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you. And therefore, God cannot claim them as his own. They are actively rejecting him. What are our expectations that when we don't meet, when we don't get there, just put them aside, go the other way, try to find our own solutions? In this story, we can see several things. Number one, the people, they were worried. They were worried that, number one, Moses, their leader, had abandoned them. And so the question is, when we put our trust in a person and not in God, and that person fails, or seems to have failed, in the case of Moses, where does our trust go? What do we do? Also, the people were worried that God himself had forsaken them. God had no care anymore. This leader had died. God doesn't have a plan for us. We're just going to turn our way. And also for other leaders, like Aaron was worried what the people will do. Like they will take things against him. So, okay, I'm just going to comply right here. You want a different God? Okay, just bring your bow. Instead of leading them I love that verse just ends saying, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, worry about yourself. Each day has enough problems of its own. Do not worry. When you're not meeting your goals, the expectations, your expectations are not matching up, adding up to God's expectations, and you're just frustrated and worried about that, about the future. God is taking care of us. We don't have to be here. subjects, their minds were blinded to his majesty and power. They ceased to realize the holiness of his character or the sacred, unchanging nature of his friends. And then she says, Abysmus, man will rise no higher than his conception of truth, purity, and holiness. If the mind is never exalted above the level of humanity, it is not uplifted by faith to contemplate infinite wisdom and love, the man will constantly sinking lower and lower. The worshippers of false gods clothe their days with human attributes and passions, and thus their standard of character was degraded to the likeness of sinful humanity. The same thing that happened to the people of Israel, let us make ourselves a god, because the one who served has failed us. He has not met our expectations. And then our mind just get blurry. Like we don't see God's calling to us. We don't see what the goal is. We just put God aside. And then we just keep going lower and lower and start sinking, just like Peter was also sinking when he decided to take his eyes off Jesus. So this same God that led the people of Israel from Egypt to Canaan, the same God that told Joshua, I am with you, do not be afraid, be courageous, is the same one who's asking you this morning, acknowledge your limitations. You have all the power I do. Hold on to me. He is the one who's telling us, set your expectations aside, pick up my expectations. That is what I want you to do. And then he's asking us to accept these promises. And I would like to finish with two thoughts in this morning. First, Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. God has promises that he will be with us. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, well, now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Don't be scared that he won't tell any other people like he told Moses to the people of Israel. Those are your people, the one you brought up. No, he says, I have called you by name. You are mine. And verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, like Peter, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have loved you. So God is telling you, it doesn't matter. You're going through the water, I will be there with you. You're going through the fire, I will be there with you as well. I will protect you from it. Notice that always, every time I reference this verse, it doesn't say that you will not go through fire. It doesn't say that you will not go through waters. It says that when you do, because we will, in many ways in our lives, God will be there with us. So God is inviting us to trust him. God is inviting us to take up his promise, because sometimes we just forget what he's asking, or we think that we are more